Chapter 23. Since the advent of its independence in 2238, Avon's government had contracted civil astroengineering teams to knock 15 large, 20 to 25 kilometer diameter, stony iron asteroids into high orbit above the planet using precisely placed and timed nuclear explosions. 14 of them follow the standard formula of industrialization adopted throughout the Confederation. After their orbits were stabilized with a perigee no less than 100,000 kilometers, their ores had been mined out and the refined metal sent down to the planet below in the form of giant lifting bodies which coasted through the atmosphere to a splash-glide landing in the ocean. The resulting caverns were expanded, regularized into cylindrical shapes, the surface sculpted into a landscape, sealed, then turned into habitable biospheres. At the same time, the original ore refineries would gradually be replaced by more sophisticated industrial stations, allowing the asteroid's economy to shift its emphasis from the bulk production of metals and minerals to finished micro-G engineered products. The refineries moved on to a fresh asteroid in order to satisfy the demand of the planetary furnaces and steel mills, keeping the worst aspects of raw material exploitation off-planet, where the ecological pollution on the aboriginal biota was zero. Anyone arriving at the Terra-compatible planet in the Confederation could tell almost at a glance how long it had been industrialized by the number of settled asteroids in orbit around it. Avon had been open for colonization to ethnic Canadians in 2155 during the Great Dispersal and conformed to the usual evolutionary route out of an agrarian economy into industrialization in slightly less than a century. A satisfactory achievement, but nothing remarkable. It remained a pedestrian world until 2271, when it played host to the head of state conference, called to discuss the worrying upsurge in the use of antimatter as a weapon of mass destruction. From that conference was born the Confederation, and Avon seized its chance to leapfrog an entire developmental stage by offering itself as a permanent host for the Assembly. Without any increase in exports, foreign currency poured in as governments set up diplomatic missions, and the lawyers, interstellar companies, finance institutions, influence peddlers, media conglomerates, and lobbyists followed, each with their own prestige, offices, and staff and dependents. There was also the Confederation Navy, which was to police the fragile newfound unity between the inhabited stars. Avon contributed to that as well by donating to the Assembly an orbiting asteroid named Trafalgar, which was in the last phase of mining. Trafalgar was unique within the Confederation in that it had no industrial stations after the miners moved out. It was first, foremost, and only a naval base, developing from a basic supply and maintenance depot for the entire Confederation Navy, such as it was in the early days, up to the primary military headquarters for the 862 inhabited star systems which made up the Confederation in 2611. When First Admiral Samuel Alexandrovich took up his appointment in 2605, it was the home port for the First Fleet, and headquarters and training center for the Marine Corps. It housed the Career Officer Academy, the Engineering School, the Navy Technical Evaluation Office, the First Admiral's Strategy Office, the Navy Budget Office, the principal research laboratories for supralight communications, and, more quietly, the headquarters of the Fleet Intelligence Arm. A black and grey peanut shape, 21 kilometers long, 7 wide, rotating about its long axis, it contained three cylindrical biosphere caverns which housed a mixed civilian and military population of approximately 300,000. There were non-rotational spaceports at each end, spheres 2 kilometers in diameter, the usual gridwork of girders and tanks and pipes threaded with pressurized tubes carrying commuter cars, and docking bays ringed by control cabins. Their surface area was just about able to cope with a vast quantity of spaceship movements. The spindles were both fixed to Trafalgar's axis at the center of deep artificial craters 2 kilometers wide, which the Voidhawks used as docking ledges. As well as its responsibility for defense and anti-pirate duties across the Confederation, it coordinated Avon's defense in conjunction with the local navy. The strategic defense platforms protecting the planet were some of the most powerful ever built. Given the huge numbers of government diplomatic ships, as well as the above-average number of commercial flights using the low-orbit docking stations, security was a paramount requirement.